Well, all right. So let's get into our first review of the day. And that is going to be for the film Abigail. Abigail, horror film out right now, directed by the Radio Silence team. They also did Ready or Not, which I was a big fan of. And they also did Scream 5 and 6. I liked 6 more than 5. Yeah. I forgot where you fell on the Scream movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat.
Okay. But I think still Ready or Not, I think it's still the best thing, I think, from them. That was the movie with some more weaving in it. And this movie follows kind of a similar kind of vein as Ready or Not. People trapped in a house, you know, kind of trying to survive over a night. And in this movie, it starts right away. You have a crew of thieves there, you know, sent to do a mission, a job. The crew of thieves is comprised of Dan Stevens, who's kind of the leader here, Frank. You also have Melissa Barrera there, who also has worked with the Radio Silence team on the Scream movies. You have Catherine Newton, who we just saw in Lisa Frankenstein. We also have Kevin Duran there, who he's a actor. He's been in tons of stuff. That he was in like X-Men Origins Wolverine. He played the Blob in that, if you remember. He was also in Robin Hood. He was also in I Am Number 4 there. We also have Angus Cloud. Rest in peace to him. He actually just recently passed away at the age of 25. Very, very young there. People know him for his work on Euphoria. People might know him for that. Also, you have William Collette here. People might know he was in that movie 1001, which I really loved a lot. And I thought he was very great in that movie. It was a movie with Tiana Taylor in it. So, like I said, crew of thieves kind of there comprised, and they had a mission to kidnap this little girl. And this little girl father is a very, very powerful person. And in an effort to get a ransom money for her. Now, I don't know, you know, for some people, this might be the first time you might be seeing the trailer, because some people might know that this is a horror movie and that the main kind of antagonist of the movie is the little girl. She is the vampire here. That's, you know, the big danger, the big threat of the movie that the characters have to face and have to survive, you know what I mean, throughout the night. So, yeah. You know, like I said, very much in a similar vein to something like Ready or Not, if you remember that movie from the team there of Radio Silence. Dust, let me get your thoughts on this movie.
This is a remake of an old school monster movie called Dracula's Daughter. And it kind of wears on its sleeve fairly early on. This movie does feel... Was this movie made by A24?
No.
This felt like an A24 movie.
Really?
It did in some ways. The weird ballerina stuff, the little girl being scary, it actually reminded me a little bit of Megan, but without the kind of black comedy angle of Megan. Not as much. Yeah, but it does very much have a kind of Ready or Not vibe to it, and that's kind of what saves it. You kind of have a band of characters that go from likable-ish to unlikable, and it turns on its head, where they initially think this is going to be an easy, quick job. It's just a kidnapping. We're not trying to hurt this person, and we're just here for the money. And it turns upside down. And it'd say, "No, you haven't been. You haven't kidnapped anyone. You're the one stuck in the situation." And then it comes down to the characters of how do we deal with the deranged 500-plus-year-old vampire little girl that seemingly can't be killed.
And with the kind of crew here, like I said, you have a good cast of actors here that you see, like John Carlos Esposito is also
not a character actors.
Yeah, you know, he's not in the movie very much, but you do see him a little bit here. A lot of character actors that you have here. You also, I mean, the characters that they're playing are types you see in heist, you know, kind of movies there. You know, you got the leader, you got the muscle, you got the getaway driver, you got the hacker chick, you know, that's in here. And they're all kind of playing types. And I think in that, the movie jumps into things right away. Beginning of the movie, they're already doing the job. You know, it's not a lot of setup of like, you know, assembling the team. It's like they already assembled. They already got the job. It's like, boom, you know, already we're kicking off into the story already. So in them playing types, it is not really all. I don't think they're that interesting of characters, really,
no,
because they're such types. And you know, as you may see, some of them will get picked off one by one there that you kind of see there that will kind of happen in a movie like this. And I think that they try to make a little something out of it because they are such good actors. I think like Dan Stevens, who we just saw in Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire, we just saw him in that. Mm-hmm. Melissa Barrera, you know, chance for her to do something else, you know, that we kind of see her. So I think that's kind of playing there. What did you think about the characters in the movie? Because I thought they were just kind of like, okay, they're playing types and they're not really doing much other than that. What's kind of your opinion there?
No, I'm mostly in agreement with you. The story isn't really meant to have deeper characterization. They're just characters. They're just archetypes to be in a situation to then deal with this monstrous character. And that's, and then gore, blood, and death ensue. It's not a very complicated movie.
No. And it's kind of combining different genres that have,
yes,
like, if you took, you know, these characters like, you know, Reservoir Dogs or, you know, Ocean's 11 or something like that, and you put them in a horror type scenario here,
which has shown to be great. Dusk Till Dawn is really fun and great. It goes from a regular kind of a Reservoir Dogs kind of style movie in the first half and then just surprises you into being later a monster movie. It surprises you, like it surprises the character. So in that way it works, but it built up to that point. In this, we really don't get a lot of time. It kind of happens so quickly. We don't really spend a lot of time with these characters to know why. We know some of why they're doing what they're doing, but it really doesn't matter. Not many of you are going to make it out of this anyways.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, and there's not many, I'm going to be honest, there's not many twists and turns for this that made it really more interesting than that.
Yeah. It's interesting because I wonder if people, you didn't see the trailer and you're kind of coming into this, didn't knew a little as much about it, maybe like something like From Dusk Till Dawn, where there's that switch in the movie of like you're following these two criminals and all of a sudden it turns into, you know what I mean, a horror movie there. I wonder if that would work better if people knew as little bit about it as coming into it, and maybe people like it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So the girl, as we've avoided talking about the main girl here, the Abigail herself, Alicia Weir here, who does a great job. You know, she has to do a lot in this role here.
She's basically carrying the movie.
You know, yeah, somewhat. Yeah, she is kind of, you know, carrying the movie because she has to be this monstrous little girl. And then she also has to be this innocent little girl as well. And she also has to, you know, play the centuries kind of vampire and be very sophisticated and be very good at that. And also on top of that, also do a lot of this ballerina, you know, type of things, which I don't know if that was all her doing it. But maybe it seemed like it possibly could be all her because she also was in the Matilda musical. So she did a lot of dancing there. So maybe that was all her also doing a lot of the ballet stuff as well, given she was in that musical. So yeah, I thought she was very good in that, very good in this role, here, there, and the ability to play all these kind of different, dimensions here. What was kind of your thoughts there?
She's actually had a lot of stage experience and that does show in this, especially when she's performing and showing different, forms of herself. It did feel a bit like stage acting where there is kind of a lot more focus on facial movement, a lot more on I'm not saying that she lacks nuance, but there's a lot more focus on my facial expressions, my body movement, a lot of outer expression. And she does have, as weird as it is with the ballerina thing, it at least gives a characterization and a character, both in a physical sense, to what normally would be a kind of a very simple kind of monster. We've kind of seen the vampire used and played out quite a bit, so it at least a newer characterization, and I think she does well with that.
Yeah, and this is a pure R-rated movie here. You're gonna see a lot of buckets of blood that are gonna be, you're gonna see here, people just covered in all the stuff. I wonder if it beat Evil Dead Rise as far as like the amount of blood they kind of used in this.
I think Evil Dead Rise had more.
You think it had more?
I think a little bit more, or at least used it in a way that it felt like it had more. Evil Dead Rise felt a lot more visceral in certain places, were just really uncomfortable in certain places. This, it was gory, don't get me wrong, but it was a bit more, I guess, you knew what was bad was happening.
Fun gore, more.
Yeah, not as disturbing gore as where a character swallows glass and you just see it jutting from them while still like, or like twisting in in their body, and you're like, weird body horror. It's not as much that.
Yeah. So you're going to see a lot of that here with that. And, you know, just seeing these characters in this situation, trying to survive, trying to face this creature, trying to survive over the night. That's kind of basically all it is here. And, mm-hmm. you know, if
it's a bottleneck movie,
if you're going to be entertained by that, if you're going to see that, because I don't know, somebody you might not be in it because, like I said, these characters, not the most, you know what I mean? They're types, not the most interesting kind of characters here you see. Angus Cloud, if you ever see Euphoria, he's basically playing Fez from Euphoria. He's playing the same character. And I don't know about you, but I could not understand half the shit he was saying. I was like, could you enunciate just a little bit more? Or can we crank up his audio? Like, I could not, like, he was mumbling like crazy. I was like, what the fuck is he saying?
Yeah.
Did you have that issue? I was like, maybe it's just me or.
No, what? There's some moments where I was like, I'm sorry, what? You want to run that by me again? It's the thing that not only does he have the thicker accent, he also mumbles a lot of his lines too. And I'm like, enunciate, sir, enunciate.
You know, I mean, he fits
the character.
Like I said, he is playing like it's just like if they grabbed him, like it's almost they could have named him Fez again from Euphoria, and it would have been nothing would have changed. And he's not, I don't think he's a bad actor, but just like, man, it's just like, can you enunciate just a little bit more or what? It's like an NBA player trying to act. I'm like trying to say something. I'm like, man, it's tough to hear you here. So I mean, I had a good time with the movie. I think I'm like, okay, this is fun. I'm on the ride here. I think Melissa Barrera, I think she does a great job here as well. And then showing like, okay, she can do other stuff outside the screen movies and I think be all right here. Mm-hmm. And the dynamic between the actors is fun. I like their kind of back and forth here. I think even a little bit more than in the next movie we're going to be talking about that has another ragtag group of people banded together here to fight a common cause. I think this was a little bit kind of better there in terms of that, of just the relationship, the dynamics between everybody. What were kind of your thoughts there?
Yeah, I thought this one was fine enough in a... just using archetypes and kind of working together to get to a situation, and then certain small twists and turns that kind of come along the way. This is a bottleneck movie, so you're either going to kind of like this kind of movie and kind of deal with it, and or at least enjoy it in that measure. If not, I at least think the new interesting angle with Abigail will at least be pretty intriguing. I would also be remiss, unfortunately, that as much as we dogging on Angus Cloud, I mean no disrespect, and unfortunately, we're not going to really see much more from this gentleman because he passed away last year.
Yeah. And I think this is his...
Yes, his last role.
This is his last role there.
He was only 25.
Yeah. It's very sad. This is a good time. If you're looking for maybe a fun kind of horror movie there that you can kind of enjoy, that has a lot of buckets of blood, that has a lot of that, and then also kind of combining these different genres together... Also, the dynamic between a lot of these, even though that, like I said, they are playing types, which I think is kind of one of the weakest elements. They are playing types for a reason, like Dust said, for this kind of theme of a movie. They get like nicknames, like from the Rat Pack and everything like that. So there's kind of a reason for the generic kind of types that they are. But I do like the actors and the way they play the roles and the way they kind of interact with each other and the banter they have back and forth. I think it leads to some good comedic moments. There's some good horror moments in here. If you're just looking for that type of thing. So for me, I'm going to give it maybe just a plain tune in for me. What about you, Dust?
Yeah, I kind of come around to with you. I say like a low, but a regular just tune in. I think it's solid enough for what it does.
Yeah. And I think the girl is the standout. The girl playing Abigail, I think she really, because she has to do the most here, I think, out of everybody, just in terms of the physicality of the role. Different kind of dimensions she has to play here, different characters she has to play in the movie. I think she has a lot more to do than maybe some other people. When her little ass is chasing everybody around the house, that is, fun. It's fun to watch this, And them just kind of taking her on is also a good time there. And this kind of big kind of mansion that they have here, all these different parts of it, I think is exciting there to film in. But I don't think it's as good as their previous stuff, like especially Ready or Not. I don't think it's as good as that. which I thought was much, much better. I think it had much more engaging characters, and especially with some more weaving as the final girl there, I think was maybe more engaging there. Yeah. And also, I don't want to say too much, but did something not make sense to you when it was like, this was towards middle, end of the movie, where somebody looks at their watch and goes like, oh, it's 3:30 a.m. And then there's a scene where they're in the study, and then a light is shining. But then when they go back to the study towards the end of the movie, it's nighttime again.
Yeah, like, that didn't make any sense. There's no explanation about that.
Like, I was
wondering that too.
I was like, wait. I was like, wasn't it just light, not just a little scenes code?
But yeah, no, it would either be there or it's not.
Yeah, so that was very weird. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Oh no, you gonna say something?
My only last thought is, as much as this is an interesting vampire movie, it is interesting in the way that, for the most part, they kind of ignore almost every rule of vampires in this. And while that it can be like, they can be somewhat scary, it does make the situation kind of go, oh, well, then there's like no rules. So it's kind of like one of those, either they're weak to something, like everything's weak to something, and then eventually they do. But it does take away from the grandiose history of what vampires have been normally known as. But that's a small gripe overall for me. I hope they see a little bit more of that into it, or a little. Yeah, because they could just a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm like, nah, but you should still be really hurt, though. Like, even a little bit. But that's a supernatural thing, and there's been other creatures that, like with werewolves, they can just absorb a ton of damage if it's not silver.
Okay. So yeah, little points off of Dust for not adhering to good vampire lore. So to tune in for
Abigail.